Hilchos Yain, the laws of wine, which I thought was a relevant topic during this season, although I forgot to bring a l'chaim. I have Doritos, which is Bechinas Yain. Anyways, not exactly, but you know, same idea. So we're going to learn tonight about the Hashkafa of Yain and jump into the Halachas of Yain a tiny bit today and more next time. Yalla. We're going to be guided by our Rebbe, Rav Eliezer Melamed, the Pesek of Har Bracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Bracha, and his beautiful sefer, Pnine Halacha. So, and there's a source sheet for those who are curious. So, David HaMelech teaches us in Tehillim, V'yayin yisamach levavanosh. Wine makes us happy, or at least a lot of people. It generally makes us happy. Now, it's interesting. Wine, you take some grapes, you stomp it. You don't need any fancy schmancy materials. You just stomp it. You leave the klipos, the shells. You leave the grape juice. You let it ferment. And naturally, on its own, it can become this delicious thing called wine, where the sugar turns into alcoholic content, which, when done right, can be make you happy, and it can also be amazing. It also satisfies you. It also, you know, makes you feel full to an extent. And that's pretty amazing. So David HaMelech says, wow, wine's a pretty special, special thing. And we do have, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some sources which indicate a positive orientation towards wine in Chumash and Gemara. Some sources which indicate a not so positive orientation towards wine, and then we'll try to make sense of it all with a middle position. That's our plan. So can you think of any times in our tradition, our Jewish tradition, where there's a positive orientation connected to wine? Any ideas? In the Purim festival and in the four cups of wine of Pesach, we seem to be using wine with a positive orientation. That's a great example. Any other rituals in Judaism where we use wine in a positive type of way? Yes? Danish, what do you say? Have a brachas is a great example. What else?
Kiddush and Havdalah.
Kiddush, Shabbos, Yontiv, Havdalah. What about an Arison at the wedding? What about a bris? What about every time we bench?
Anytime you want to party.
Anytime you want to take a holy thing, a special occasion, the rabbis brought wine into the picture. So the simplest level, it does seem like wine and Judaism are friends. Okay? They seem to go together pretty well. Very interestingly, the Zohar writes, Ein Kedusha El B'Yayin, the Ein Bracha El B'Yayin. There's no holiness only unless there's wine. There's only blessing when there's wine. Pretty strong statement of the Zohar. Wow, pretty amazing. We have to understand, what is it about wine which brings the Kedusha? I would think no good times, but Kedusha, that's a pretty strong statement. Similarly, turn that off, whatever.
I have a question.
Yes. Question. We're primarily speaking about wine in tonight's shiur. But when we talk about Hilchos Yayin, we're going to be talking about wine and grape juice. We'll differentiate and get into those details. But tonight specifically is focused on Yayin, because Yayin, when David HaMelech says Yayin is Tamach Levavanosh, that's referring specifically to wine. Okay? And we're going to see that that's the ideal way to celebrate these different holidays. For example, Pesach, many of the posts can bring down, it's lechadchila, it's better to do it actually with wine and not grape juice. Grape juice is bidyevet. But we'll get into the nitty-gritty halachas in just a little bit. First, we're just talking about it kind of hashkafically. Okay? The Gemara in Brachas teaches us, in Daf Lamed Hey Amad Bet, Aleph, Ein Omrim Shira El Al Yayin. We only sing song when we have wine. Okay? Real song is only done with wine. In fact, there was wine on the Mizbeach, perhaps for that same type of reason. The Gemara in Tainis, in Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, famously teaches that it could be that the Nazir, who refrains from wine, there's a little bit of a negative, of a sin. That's why there's a sin offering, because he's taking himself away from this the shlemus that yain brings. And Rava once commented that he would only give a ruling when he had a little bit of wine in him. That the little bit of wine somehow made him more clear-headed. I will add one biblical source. Where's the first time that we see wine in Yerushalayim in the Torah? It's a tough question. Anybody? Malchit Tzedek. Very good. Malch, the first time we interact with Yerushalayim and wine in a positive way. He brings bread and wine to Avram Avinu in Yerushalayim and Shalem. Pretty good. So wine in Yerushalayim seems to be a good mix. Not bad. Not bad. All right. So if you want to just have a great time and have an awesome Purim, you should stop listening to the Shiur right now, run away, and not hear part two. But anyway, so far what we've established is that there definitely does seem to be a lot of context where wine has a positive context, positive orientation in Judaism. Yeah? On the other hand, there are also quite a number of biblical and Talmudic sources which seem to indicate a negative orientation towards wine, where wine brings destruction. Can you guys think of any example? I see Ariel has his hands raised. Yes, Ariel. Great. So, I mean, not so great, but it does seem that when Lot slept with his daughters, which is not generally a great thing to do, that happened because of wine, although maybe their intentions were good, etc., etc. But the Gemara does indicate that there's a negative aspect in that story of wine and what it led to. Any other examples of wine and what it leads?
Another one.
Yes.
I got another one.
Yes, Ariel. Noach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin notes, but it's really just Pashat Pshat in the Psukim, that Noach gets drunk and then some great sin happens and his children take advantage of him, at least one of them. We don't have to get into all the details. Sad story, but that sad story of Noach seems to happen when he gets drunk and it leads to his defilement. So Noach is a great example of the dangers of wine. Any other examples of wine and its dangers in the Chumash?
I'm not sure where it's from, but I know there's it says how you judge a person is how they handle their wine, the kiso, the kaso, the koso, and I'm not sure where that's from.
Right. So there's a Gemara, and I'll put that into the third section, which is that it depends how you use wine, and there definitely are people that use wine in a negative way, and you can learn from that they're not using it properly. So that goes into the third category, which is depends how you use it. Very good. Very good. But let's go back to the Bible. Do we have any other biblical stories which indicate maybe a negative orientation towards wine? Bior says maybe a Kohen, it can't serve when he's drunk. And the Chet HaEgel, there seems to have been wine in that story. It doesn't say that explicitly, but yeah, makes sense. Speaking of Kohanim and wine, does any other stories come to mind? Yes? Very good. Nadav Neviu. You see, the law right after Nadav Neviu is that a Kohen can't drink wine. So comes Midrash Rabbah and teaches us, quoted by Rashi, that the sin that they committed was drinking wine, and that's what led to the sin of going into the Kodesh Kodeshim without permission. So wine caused the terrible death of the children of Aaron, according to that Gemara, according to that Midrash. And that's already story number 3. Wow, that's a lot. And finally, story number 4, though this one's not clear, not necessarily the pshat, but certainly one of the rabbis feels that a very big sin happened because of wine. If you've been to my Shabbos meal, you should know about this. Ding, ding, ding. Ariel is doing great. It says that Adam and Eve ate Right. It said that Adam ate and Eve ate from a fruit. Now, it doesn't say in the pshat what the fruit was. And there is a dispute in the Gemara, what were the fruits? But Rebbe Meir teaches us, the holy Rebbe Meir Balanes, who always finds my phone for me. Rebbe Meir tells us it was actually wine. The first sin that mankind committed was by overindulging in that grape, wine, whatever it is. And whether we take that literally or not, I think Rebbe Meir and all of these Gemaras are trying to teach us that there is a danger in wine. That wine, when used in the wrong context, can be very, very, very dangerous. That's from the biblical stories. I'll just mention very quickly a few other cases of wine having a negative aspect. In Amos, it's taught that the 10 tribes were exiled because of overindulging in wine. Yeshayahu also rebukes sinners, I think Binyamin and Yehuda, for overindulging in wine. Mishlei teaches us about not overindulging in wine. Shlomo Melech teaches us about the dangers of drinking too much in wine. The Gemara often talks about, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, for example, says, "In yalala bali olam," desolation and destruction only comes to the world because of wine. So I don't have time to go through every single source in our Masorah, but there are many biblical and many Talmudic sources which seem to also have a negative orientation towards at least overindulging in wine. Yes, we have a thought or comment by Ariel. Your question might go back to part one of the shir, which is that obviously there's something very, very holy, like the Zohar says, very powerful about using wine correctly. And that Judaism is not about only finding simcha through spiritual things like mitzvahs and Torah. Obviously, that's central. But by using physical things like food and wine, but guided by spiritual values, guided by spirituality and done in the Torah way, done with moderation, done for spiritual purposes in the right time and place, can be used to bring a shlemus, to bring a fuller simcha, a fuller holiness into the universe. Perhaps that's one answer as to why not just ban it completely, because it is obviously very, very dangerous. But Judaism is apparently taking the middle path and saying, no, there is a place for the physical, even for something as dangerous as wine, but it needs to be done in the right context, in the right way. Okay? Now, at the same time, it also makes space for a person to say, listen, I know myself. And I know that as soon as I start having wine, it's only going to lead to bad things. And therefore, there's such a thing called a nazir, who in a certain way is holy, very holy, because he recognizes that there's more to lose than to gain. And thus, I'm going to ban myself from, I may not reach the highest level, but, you know, I'm still going to reach a much higher level than if I overindulge in this way, which only brings me to negative things. So there's space for, I think, the reality, but my answer to your wonderful question is, apparently there's a value in wine, in that shlemus, that it can bring out. And maybe that's why Judaism is all about bringing wine into these holy occasions, but always done for holy purposes, always done guided by spirituality, and done in a holy context and in a way of moderation. Yes? Obviously, Purim is a shir in of itself of how do we understand the seemingly going away from moderation, but we're not talking specifically about Purim tonight. It deserves a shir in of itself. We're talking about, in general, the use of wine. Okay? Now, just to close up our introduction to Yain in Hashkafa, there are also a lot of sources in Judaism which indicate a middle path. And what's the middle path? There's Gemaras which teach us that wine, when used by a Rasha, or by wine even by used by an Ama Aretz, i.e. someone not guided by Torah values, then it can lead us to destruction. It generally leads to destruction. But wine, when used by a Talmud Chacham, it can lead us to good places, to holy things. And perhaps a person can learn about himself if he's really a Talmud Chacham by the way that he treats wine. If he sees that wine is bringing him to bad things, then maybe he's not as big of a Talmud Chacham than he thought. But there's something about Yayin. It's interesting. The Gemara, which talks about Yayin a lot, is the 70th daf in Sanhedrin. Yayin is gematria of 70. Sod is a gematria of 70. There does seem to be an idea that Yayin can bring out the pnimius of a person. And it can, when done in the right way, it can open up a person to holiness, to love, to connection in a deeper way. But unfortunately, it could also bring out the inside of a person, which is not so holy. Yayin can make a person rush, like a low level, like a poor level, but it could also lift a person up. All depends on who you are and in the context in which you are drinking. In other words, am I drinking right now just to get a physical pleasure? Or am I drinking for a mitzvah to connect to God, to connect to Torah and mitzvahs, and thus I'm going to do it in a certain way, in a certain context. So that's a few thoughts that the Rav Melamed, inspired by Rav Melamed, that I have on wine. And next week, because I'm over my 15 minutes that I allot myself, we'll start talking about the halachas of wine in a meal and all the nitty-gritties way in which we apply these ideals of wine into our daily lives. Do you have any questions before we say goodbye? Yes. Someone has a question? Yes, Benish.
I think it says in the Midrash that if you get to drink too much wine on Purim, you should go to sleep before you get into trouble.
Right. The Ramah writes, quoting the Rambam, that the ideal way to get to a state of Chayiv Inish Levesume is to drink a little bit more than you normally would, and then go to sleep, and then you get to the high level of Livasumai. In other words, it seems as though, although the Shulchan Aruch is recommending to Mamish get to this higher state of inebriation, the Ramah is recognizing that for most people, it's only going to lead to destruction. And indeed, there are many, many rabbis nowadays who say in our generation, with all the amounts of, of addictions, et cetera, and all the bad aspects of alcoholism, it would be safer to err on the side of caution and not overindulging in wine, even on Purim. So certainly there's tons of space for that perspective within Judaism in terms specifically of Purim. Certainly most women like that perspective better from what I hear from the holy women folk and at their Purim parties. Any other questions, thoughts, or comments before we head out for today? Okay. All right. So we'll call it a night. I hope you guys had a great time. I hope you guys enjoyed.